This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. A very good afternoon and welcome to the program today. We're going to be talking some high school preps around the state of Michigan with the prep editor of the Detroit News, Tom Markowski. And we'll look at the quality of football around the state of Michigan. How good is football in our state? I know it doesn't rival Ohio State, of course, or Alabama, but I think we play some pretty good football around the state, and that's the question we'll pose first to Tom Markowski, and then we'll get into some other things about football across the state of Michigan. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And what we'll do is we'll take phone calls and give you a chance to win tickets to the Michigan State Eastern Michigan game coming up on Saturday, 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we'll talk sports with you all afternoon. And also, we're going to talk a little bit later on with the voice of the Detroit Lions. Dan Miller will join us, and we'll talk with Dan about the Detroit Lions going into their third regular season contest. So another thing we'll see, so we'll talk Lions football today, and of course, we'll talk high school football around the state of Michigan, and that's some of the things we'll discuss. But if you want to call it and jump in with the question, give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. And of course, you can call area code 353-5000 for your chance to win tickets. That's 353-5000, area code 517. And let's chat we'll get to the prep editor of the Detroit News shortly, but we'll have to talk about a few other things right now on AM 870. And, you know, one question I have for Dan Miller when we get him on is, what will Mikhail LeSure's role be in that first game? Let's do that and talk with him. We'll talk with him. And right now, though, we'll look for the voice of Tom Markowski, who's basically waiting for our call. And we'll talk with him about the prep football coming up across the state of Michigan. And, of course, when you look around the NFL and college football, you've got the big game coming up this weekend. And you'll hear from the Michigan-Notre Dame game. That's going to be a strong contest this weekend. Following what Michigan State did, we'll talk with other guests about that Michigan State-Notre Dame game. But right now, let's bring in our guest and talk with Tom Markowski right here on AM 870. Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy?
Good afternoon, Earl.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to get your take on the football across the state of Michigan, the quality of football. We know the quality isn't as good as a place like Alabama or Ohio or Texas, but how would you rate basically the overall quality of the state when you go against all these other states? What are the premier states like Ohio State and Alabama and Texas?
Well, if you want to go head to head with some of the best teams there with our best teams, I think those states are going to have the edge. I think that changes from year to year, perhaps. You might have a strong, let's say, a Muskegon team or a Lowell team or a Catholic Central team, whatever it may be. But generally speaking, you're going to find their top teams are going to outweigh ours. You look at Ohio, and this is something interesting, Earl, that they get an extra week of practice at the start of the season. And when I talked to coaches, I said, how would you like an extra week of practice to get rid of your, get ready for your opener? And they just, they think, geez, that'd be great. I said, yeah, just think of then you play an Ohio team that has that extra week. And just think of the advantage maybe a Michigan State or go a higher level like the Lions would have if they had an extra week to prepare for a game over somebody else. So, there are some advantages they have down there, and for what it's worth, they just have a percentage of teams that are better than ours. And you can just look at all the players from Ohio that mm-hmm. go to Division I teams. Yes. You go look at Alabama, look at Georgia, Florida. They have so many. So, yes. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I guess we're playing second fiddle, but at the same time, I think we have very high quality programs, and I think the coaches, you know, for the most part across the state are, you know, doing more than an adequate job.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. That's for sure. What about, you know, here in the state of Michigan, we know we've got some very quality teams, and we got a really a good quality team in the Lansing area. I know at the beginning of the season, we didn't think they'd do that well, but Lansing Everett, boy, that team has a ton of speed on it, Mark, Tom.
Yeah, they've done really well this year. And it's funny talking to the coaches at Holt and East Lansing and Grand Ledge and all the fine coaches, and then they said, Tom, you know, watch out for this Lansing Everett team. They had some good players last year, and they were young last year. And it's like, you know, okay, I kept that in the back of my mind, but it's until you see it on the field, which we obviously saw last week when they got the best of Holt. Yeah, they're an up and coming team, and perhaps an up and coming program. Obviously, they got the talent. Let's see how long they can take it this year.
Yes, because those kids have been playing together basically for the last 3 years. Most of them, the quarterback's a third year starter, as a junior. So, Marcel Carruthers really got it going on over at Everett.
Yeah, you know, Carruthers has done a really nice job there. And it's one thing, Earl, to have players there for that duration. It's another, how should I say, entity if you get those kids to play on the same page. And you get coaches tell me all the time that they say, you know, we're good, but sometimes the kids try to do too much. They try to, you know, play outside the system, or make a play when it really isn't there. So, point being, if everybody's on the same page and they've all worked well together and they stay within that framework of what the coaching staff expects of them, then normally he'll have a good season and have a lot of success.
Yes, Tom. I mean, one thing that I've learned when I've talked with college coaches, high school coaches around the state, a lot of them will tell me, like even here in the Mid-Michigan area, that, the kids can't really do, what you want them to do. I mean, they're just limited on the skill set, even though they may think they're very good at a certain area, but they really aren't.
Yeah, I understand that, too, because, they're 16, 17-year-old kids, and you might have some, idea of what they can do for you, but a lot of times the simple is best, and not ask them to do too much, just do what's in the system, and, you can't expect them to run a 4.440 to catch a pass when they're a 4.7 kid, and maybe a short passing game is more advantageous than when you stretch the field.
That's true. Hey, we got a caller for you. We got Tom on the line. Tom, how you doing?
Todd, yeah. How you doing, Earl? How
okay.
you doing, Tom?
Yeah.
Good. Good to hear from you.
Two questions. In regards to two high school athletes in the state of Michigan. I obviously was able to hear, living in the area from Lake Orion, that James Young had transferred from Troy High to Rochester. And I understand, that is a debate that could be had many days in many different ways. Do you know any of the circumstances surrounding that? I know kids can go where they want. You have school of choice. Some kids seem to be pretty stringent about it. Some seem to be a little variant. And I suppose if you're an exceptional athlete, maybe you'd be a little more leeway. So do you know anything about that? And then finally, obviously, Shane Morris, that fine quarterback from Warren D. LaSalle, has mononucleosis and isn't going to play or may not play. But I just want to ask you, Tom, I've heard, and I'm not a Michigan fan, but I've heard a lot of Michigan fans, just how much pressure is really on this kid? From the fan base, whatever. I hope he goes on to be an exceptional student-athlete and does very well. But, this recruiting, and I'm guilty because I follow it somewhat. I don't, the stars don't necessarily mean a lot to me. But really, is that the dark side of this recruiting? I mean, everybody's certainly super excited when their team gets a 5-star, or an 18-star, or a 4-star. But is it really the downside of that? Is some of these kids, they're just under so much pressure before they even take their first class or their first snap at the collegiate level? Thanks a lot.
I'll tell you, you got an intelligent caller there, Earl.
Yeah,
he's asking
Todd
very
is good
questions. Mm-hmm. First, we'll tackle the James Young one. Now, he did transfer from Troy to Rochester, like the caller said. His family moved in from the Troy district into the Rochester school district. Now, the circumstances surrounding that, I do not know the specifics, except for the fact there was rumors floating around all last year that James Young might transfer. And there was rumors that he'd transfer to a place like Oak Hill Academy and just go to basically, you know, a prep school out east where the competition is greater. And perhaps the road to a successful collegiate career is quicker. Now, you can debate that all day long, but that's perceptions and maybe reality to some extent for some of the kids. But for what it's worth with James Young, I haven't talked to James. He hasn't returned my calls. It's not a big deal. It's almost a part of the second question that the caller asked about the pressure that these kids are under. You can imagine the pressure James Young is under right now. He is the best player in the state of Michigan, and he hasn't made up his mind. So there's the pressure of where he's going to school and college, and there's the pressure of him to perform at a new team, or even if he stayed at Troy for the old team. And it's strange to me in a sense that Troy would have had, with James Young, four starters back from a team that was very good last year. I would have easily put them in my top 10, perhaps even top 5. That's how good they would have been. That being said, perhaps James just would rather play at a system that's different than the one he was playing for the last 3 years. It might be something as simple as that. Getting back to his second question about Shane Morris.
Yeah.
Now, we know, Earl, that recruiting has picked up tremendously in the last 15 to 20 years. When I started doing recruiting, 22 years ago, whatever it was, a lot of kids weren't as publicized. They might have flown under the radar for a lot, and even the top ones weren't as glamorized as they are now with the advent of the Internet, Rivals.com, Scout.com, and you name it. And besides the tweets and Facebook and all the other social medias that have come in. So you have a lot more information, a lot more sometimes hearsay information about certain athletes. So getting back to the pressure that's on Shane Morris, sure. I mean, there's a lot of, websites, recruiting services that build up these kids like they're immediately going to be stars in college. Now, I've done this a long time, Earl, and what I've heard over time, and it's perhaps two and maybe off by a couple of percentage points, but let's say you get 22 kids that you sign, Michigan State or Michigan, whomever they may be. If they get half of those kids that play for them and start for them, that's a great percentage. I mean, they're happy and as you know what. And so my point is, sure, there's a lot of people think Shane Morris is a can't-miss kid. I personally think he's going to do very well at Michigan. I've seen him often enough. I think he's got the mechanics, his skill level, his arm strength. You can go on and on. He's got the mind for the game. Does that equate to an immediate star factor at Michigan? Sure, it doesn't. I mean, there's a big jump from high school to college. The difficulty in the playbook, how to read different defenses at the collegiate level. So, yes, there is too much pressure on these kids. And is it somewhat unfair? Sure it is. They didn't really ask for it. But, back up on that statement. A lot of these kids do eat up all the attention that they get. But a lot of times you'll find, Earl, that these kids, after they get so much of that attention, it's almost like they take a step backward and say, wow, do I really want that much attention? I've had so much of it, let's say, for a year, year and a half, or 6 months, whatever it may have been. Can I have 2 months to myself? Which, it really, once the machine starts moving, the attention's on you until you put on that Michigan uniform or that Michigan State uniform, and then the more scrutinized you become as when you get to that level too. So it is out of hand to some extent. I think a lot of it is fan-driven, like our caller said, that he's kind of guilty of that. He wants to find out about these players. He wants to read more about them. So I guess, they're part of it. But it's also a money thing here, too. Rivals.com and Scout.com and any organization that, prints material on athletes, they're hoping to get more hits on their website so they can create advertising dollars to create more revenue so that you understand that this is a money thing. So if you're promoting somebody or perhaps you as an organization is on to a player that maybe was not that highly recruited, let's say as a junior. Boom, he did well at the camps during the summertime before his senior year, and now he's a 3.5-star or a 4-star or whatever. That might generate more, you know, hits on your internet, because this kid, you know, is now being recruited by Ohio State and Notre Dame or somebody like that. So it's a tough business. And there's no, I don't think there's only, you know, there's no sure thing out there. LeBron James was a sure thing, but let me tell you something. There's not too many LeBron James out there. And a lot of people are put a lot of pressure on a player like James Young, that wherever he goes, wherever, you know, he's been recruited by so many different schools, Syracuse, Michigan State, Kentucky, you can go down the list. Wherever he's going to go, he's going to be scrutinized wherever he goes.
Yes, that's the thing, Tom. You know, when we talk about a lot of these kids, people assume that they're going to be stars in college and then move on to the NFL. And a lot of the fans look at it that, hey, this you're so good, you're going to be a star in NBA, in the NFL. But, you know, they fail to realize that they got to get through college first before they reach that NFL stardom. But a lot of people just seem to assume that they're going to be a great star in college and a star again in the pros.
Right, and I think football is a little bit more difficult to scrutinize and predict because of the amount of players in the field. I mean, you could be a great quarterback at whatever level, mm-hmm. and if you don't have the receivers to catch the ball, if you don't have the linemen that block for you, you could probably be an average player whatever level that you're at, because it's within the framework of the team. Basketball is a little different. You only have 5 players on the team.
Yeah.
You know, people have told me all the time, you get 2 superstars in high school on one team and get 3 role players, you could win a state title. You don't need 5 great players to win a state title. You need a couple of really, really good ones, and then the others to fill the gap, so to speak, and be willing to do what, you know, you'd like to call the dirty work.
Yep. Hey, Tom, I want to thank you for joining us. As you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We'll be talking more prep sports around across the state of Michigan. We'll have you back on real soon, buddy.
Great, Earl. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, Tom. Hey, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And that's Tom Markowski from the Detroit News. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Americans in many parts of the world found themselves targets after an anti-Islam film sparked riots from Egypt to Indonesia. And it's not just Americans. In China this week, protests and violence targeted Japanese. I'm Neil Conan, working under fire. Plus, rethinking a general often blamed for fumbling away a chance to win the Civil War. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 o'clock, that is, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Partly sunny and windy with a high today in the mid-60s. Tonight, a low in the mid-40s and partly cloudy. Rain is likely Friday, the high 65, and showers likely Saturday, too, with a high of 59.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk with the voice of the Detroit Lions. We'll get with Dan Miller and talk with him about the upcoming Lions game right here on AM 870 WKAR. As you know, the Lions are 1-1, and they play Tennessee this week, so hopefully that'll be a win for the Lions, and they'll get back on that winning track after getting beat by San Francisco, which was no real surprise. But Lions have some issues, and we'll talk with Dan about some of the issues that the Lions have right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, if you want a chance to win tickets to the Eastern Michigan game, we'll give them away at the end of today's show. So give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000, and we'll give the tickets away to the Eastern Michigan-Michigan State game at the end of today's show. Well, let's get to Dan Miller and see what Dan has to say about the Detroit Lions. Hey, Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Doing.
Hey, doing good. It's a pleasure to have you on talk Lions football with you again. You know, one thing I wanted to know and ask, how are the Lions setting in that defensive backfield? You know, they have to waiver, you know, get guys off the waiver wire. So how do you look at the Lions and how do you think the quality of the play will be this week?
Well, I think it's key that it looks like Houston's going to be back and Bentley is trending towards being back. So if they can get the two starting corners back, that's obviously huge. And then, you know, the guy that they're still waiting on is Delmas, and you know, he's a big part of the team. They're clearly better when he's in there. So, you know, they're going to be healthier. And although they lost Florence, they're going to be, I think, more talented this week than they were a week ago without those guys. But you're still missing a piece back there. But the NFL, a lot of teams are missing pieces. So you just got to find a way to go out and play.
Yes. Now, what about Mikel Ashour starting his first official regular season NFL game? You know, how did he look in the preseason in those two games? And now, how do you think he'll do in the first regular season game he's going to be playing in?
Well, I thought he looked better in the second game than he did in the first. I think he showed that he's got some quick feet. I think he showed he's just not a straight-ahead guy. He's a guy that can get outside and turn the corner. He looked like he had good hands catching the football. And they gave him a decent workload. Took him into the second half of that final preseason game. So, you know, I anticipate he's going to get every chance in the world to be the main back on this team. And he's going to get, I would look at him as probably being a 15 to 19 touch a game guy. And, you know, they've drafted him in the second round for a reason. So I think that, you know, barring any sort of physical setback, he's going to be in for a heavy workload this week, and I think he's going to be the lead back from here on out.
Okay. Well, that sounds good because I got him on my fantasy team.
I think a lot of people have been waiting for him to come back, and I think that from a reps point of view and a touches point of view, he's going to be a good guy to have because I think he's going to be the guy that they use down at the goal line, and I think he's going to get a lot of chances.
Yeah, and that's good. You know, and he's a pretty big guy. And I also hear they can use him. They believe they can use him catching passes coming out of the backfield.
Oh, I think they definitely can. And you know, he is a big guy, but he's got quick feet. He's not, you know, your prototypical guy that just runs in a straight line. He's got a little bit of wiggle to him. He can make guys miss. And you know, in the short time that we've seen him, I think he has shown that he can catch the football. And Scott Linehan likes those guys that have, you know, the multidimensional skills and can do a lot of different things. And I think you're going to see him being used like that. And I think, you know, frankly, this is probably a good thing for Kevin Smith, too.
Yeah.
Because I think that this is going to take some wear and tear off of him. I think he's still going to get some reps. I think he'll come in. And Kevin has shown, I think, he's best when he has fresh legs. And I think as his number of touches go down, he'll get an opportunity to have fresh legs more often.
Yes, we know that Calvin Johnson hasn't gotten out in the open a lot in these first two games. How has Matthew Stafford been? I mean, everybody knows that San Francisco was a very tough team, very good defensively. So how do you think he is, you know, in going into this third game?
Well, I think he'd be the first to tell you he hasn't been overly sharp the first two games, in particular the first half against the Rams and then in the game against San Francisco. But, you know, I think we all know what he is and we've seen him play, and I have no doubt that he's going to get this thing and this offense moving in the right direction. And that's also the guys around him, too, because, you know, look, teams are going to try to take Calvin out as San Francisco did. And I think at that point, you know, it's up to Titus Young and Nate Burleson and Scheffler and Pettigrew to get open and do the job, and they're going to have one-on-one coverage most of the time, so they got to win those battles. So I think everybody just needs to play a little bit better than what we've seen in the first 2 weeks, and I think that history's told us that they can do that.
Okay. What about the offensive line? How good are they? You know, what's going on with the O-line?
You know, I think that O-line is fine. I mean, I know that's a lightning rod for some people, and they like to talk about it, but you know, you got a first and a second round draft pick in terms of running backs that haven't been in there. I think the running game is going to get better with LeSure. And I think that, you know, San Francisco is a tough team to run against anyway. They were the best in the NFL last year, and they're really, really good. You know, that said, I think they've done a decent job in terms of protecting Matthew, and I don't see where the offensive line has been an issue at all so far this year. And if those guys can stay healthy, it's their third year playing together. I anticipate they're going to do a fine job and they're going to, you know, be a part of what I think will still be a very high-powered offense. They just got to get this thing moving in the right direction.
Yes. I've had a couple of callers that have called in to ask about the Lions special teams. How are the Lions special teams? Can they do more? Because the callers were saying that the Lions haven't been able to get good field position basically because of special teams. So what's going on with the special teams unit?
Well, it's, you know, number one, kickoff returns have kind of been taken out of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not really, you know,
that's true.
Even involved that much anymore. They had a couple of chances to return some kicks, but, you know, in terms of punting, I mean, Andy Lee's one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL that just faced in San Francisco. I think the coverage units are better than they were a year ago. And I think that, you know, we'll have to wait and see what they have in terms of punt returns. It's been Logan, and there are other guys back there if he can't do the job. But, you know, it is getting harder and harder. These punters are so good now at being able to angle the ball, pin guys in on the sidelines, or just flat, you know, kick it out of bounds. But it's becoming more challenging, I think, for return units to get big yardage just because these guys have become so good. Their legs are so powerful. They hang it so high that it gives teams a chance to get down there. And when you pin a guy against the sideline, there's really nowhere for him to go. So, you know, I obviously it's still a part of the game that you have to try and be good at and gain field position. But at the same time, I think if you're dependent upon your punt return guy to give you field position, you're going to be in trouble just because of the way this thing has evolved. And I think that they need to be better offensively regardless of where they start with the football.
Well, we know that football is definitely a copycat game, especially in the National Football League. So how do you think Brandon Prettigrew is coming along? Because, as you know, every team is using the tight end a lot more than they used to use.
Yeah, and they have two of them. I mean, Scheffler, too. And Scheffler's a guy that, while he's listed as a tight end, he plays slot receiver a lot for this team. And he's a guy that, you know, when Matthew Stafford sees him one-on-one, he's more than likely going to go that way. Had him open for a touchdown and missed him the other night. But, you know, Scheffler's a big-time mismatch for a lot of these teams, and Prettigrew is too, just because of their size. They're both 6'5". They're big guys. They know how to use their bodies to get between the defender and the ball, and I think that Prettigrew has averaged around 78, 79 catches a year for the last 2 years. I mean, he's a big-time player. I think he's, you know, he still has a knack of dropping the ball every now and then, and that may be something that just kind of follows him along. You'd like to see him get better at it, but it's been a couple of years. But he sure catches a lot of tough ones as well. So he's a weapon for this team. Scheffler's a weapon for this team, and I anticipate, you know, as people shade towards Calvin and try to take Calvin out of the game and leave other guys with one-on-one coverage, those are going to be guys that are able to exploit that, and I think they'll be a big part of this team's offense.
Yes, we know that they're definitely trying to take Calvin out of the games, and so far probably they've been successful. So but let me ask you about one of those reserves. How has Ryan Broyles done in his first year? You know, is he still hurting a little bit from that foot injury, or is he completely healthy? But how has he looked so far?
Well, when he didn't play in the first game, Jim Schwartz said it wasn't health-related, so we can only go by that and assume that he's okay. Look, you're less than a year removed from knee surgery, so I anticipate that he's probably still realistically getting better. So I think that he didn't play the other night, but he's going to get his chance. I mean, it's, you know, two games in, he just hadn't had an opportunity yet. One, he wasn't in uniform, the other, he didn't play. So I anticipate he's still getting better. We saw him play some in the preseason, looked pretty good, but we'll have to wait and see where he goes and what kind of opportunities he gets from here. But so far, he just hasn't had them.
Yes. And what about the development of that defensive line? We haven't talked much about them. I watched the last game, and it seems like the defensive front is really holding up. But how you see them a lot closer than I do. So how would you assess that defensive line?
Well, better in the first game than the second game, and that goes to the linebackers, too. I think that, you know, Frank Gore just had a little too much room to roam, and especially on some of those quick-hitting wham plays that San Francisco runs. And, you know, 7 sacks in 2 games, you know, certainly that's not bad. But I think that, you know, they'd be the first to tell you that they want to be better, more impactful than that when it comes to stopping the run, much like they were in the first game where they did a great job on Steven Jackson. You got a big challenge coming this week. You know, Chris Johnson hasn't played well so far this year, but he's still talented, still explosive, and still capable of changing the game very quickly. And those guys up front have to be your first line of defense, and they're going to have to be, you know, back to where they were against Jackson this week. So, you know, it's tough when you come out of a game and you lose because you don't want to point to things that went well because, quite frankly, they weren't good enough. So, you know, I'd say the defensive line did a nice job in week 1, and they need to be better than they were in week 2.
Yes, and that's the thing. And Ndamukong Suh, of course, had that great rookie year, fell off a little bit during his second year, but everybody still comments about the Ndamukong Suh's. He has such a high motor. Does he still seem like he's moving that fast, or maybe he slowed down a little bit?
Yeah, I think he's done a nice job in the first two games, and I was a fan of what he had to say, that he didn't think that he had played all that well in the second year of his career, and that he needed to be better, and I agree with him, because I think if he's not one of the most impactful players in the league, I don't think he's playing up to his potential, because I think he's that good. But the first two games, I think he's played well, and I think that we'll see where it goes from here, because consistency is the key. And he can be a big disruption in the middle of that defensive line. So I like what I've seen from him. He just needs to keep it up. And, talent's not the issue. It's just, as he said, whatever his approach is and whatever he felt like he needed to change, getting back to, making the kind of impact he did as a rookie. I don't think he'll match those numbers he had as a rookie. Defensive tackles with double-digit sacks just really don't happen that often. So. But I think that said, I think that there's no reason to think that he won't change games on a pretty regular basis.
And that's good. I mean, if a player is getting a lot of double teams, then that's partly is a lot of success, and that helps the defense and the other guys get a free shot or get a good chance to get a good look. So as long as he's being able to get those double teams on him, I think that vote bodes well for the Lions.
Well, and I think he's still getting, plenty of attention. I think, those defensive tackles, that's the strength of this team with Ndamukong Suh and Fairley and Sammy Hill and Corda Williams. And, Corda Williams a little nicked up. He's had a little bit of a knee issue, so the other guys have to pick up the slack if he's not 100%. But quarterbacks don't like pressure coming up the middle. And the Lions have plenty of guys that can apply that, and they just have to do it because they are – really talented, and if there are some deficiencies on the back end of the defense, some pressure up front can help to eliminate some of those, or at least slow things down a little bit in terms of the quarterback being able to pick you apart back there.
Yes, Dan, we know that Calvin Johnson is going to see the double teams probably all year long. I don't think anyone would be crazy enough to just play Calvin Johnson with single coverage. So, how has he looked these first two games against one team that was really outstanding in San Francisco? The other team was okay. But how has he looked, and how is he dealing with the double teams this year? Or does
He's going to always face that. Man. I mean, there are times where he's going to have three guys on him. I mean, he's going to have, somebody probably man up right on the line and a safety coming over the top and a linebacker shaded that way or somebody else. But the great ones always see that. I mean, he's had over 100 yards in each of the first, or he had over 100 and then 90-something in the second game. So he's over 200 yards for the season. I think Calvin's been fine. Big difference between this year and last year. He hasn't found the end zone yet, but that'll come. He understands what he's going to see from teams. Matthew Stafford's smart enough that if he does see that kind of man-up coverage, that he's going to go after Calvin. But I haven't seen any issues with the way he's playing. I think he looks good. I think he's fine. I think as this offense gets going, you'll see him pick things up as well.
Yes, that's the thing. Do you think that maybe Stafford will have to – I mean, they talked about it last year, forcing the ball into Calvin, even though he's double-teamed, still throw the ball to him anyway. Do you think they might have to do more of that, or is it too early to say?
Well, I look, he had over 1,600 yards last year and whatever it was, 14, 16 touchdowns, whatever the number was. He's fine. And Matthew knows when to go to him. And I just think as a whole, they haven't really been in sync offensively yet. I think it'll come. I'm not, worried about the level of talent that guys you see out there. But I think he's going to get plenty of touches. And I think he's been targeted a lot the first two games. And, when you're not scoring, people are going to point to what you're doing wrong. And that's just part of the game. And I think people, want to see the Lions take more shots to him. But, bottom line is this, they just need to score however they do it. And that may be other guys or that may be Calvin. And ultimately, I think it'll be both.
Okay. Hey, Dan, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get together again and talk more Lions football later on in the season, buddy.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Earl.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Dan Miller, the voice of the Detroit Lions, and talking with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR East Lansing.
Next week marks the Day of Atonement in the Jewish faith.
Well, Yom Kippur is the idea that we get a second chance. God forgives us for the mistakes that we've made.
It's a theme that echoes through many faiths. I'm Neil Conan. Atonement, repentance, confession, and forgiveness. What it means in your religion. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Windy and partly sunny with a high today of 67 degrees. Tonight, look for a low of 45. It'll be partly cloudy overnight. Rain is likely Friday, the high tomorrow in the mid-60s. Saturday's high 59, and showers are likely again on Saturday. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, you still got a chance to register for those tickets for the Michigan State-Eastern Michigan game. Give us a call at 353-5000. That's 353-5000. Call us now, area code 517-353-5000 for tickets. We'll be giving those tickets away a little bit later on in today's show on Sports Talk 870 to the Michigan State Central Michigan game. So give us a call. And now we've got Alex with us today. And Alex, people want to know why you picked Notre Dame to win last week's game.
You know what? The obvious answer, Earl, is I'm obviously psychic.
Yeah, you must be. That must be it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, honestly, Earl, if you have to ask my opinion, the main reason I chose them wasn't because, you know, I was doubting Michigan State. It wasn't because, I feel like they're going to have a bad game. It's not like I'm going to a bookie and, you know, betting that, oh, I know something that you don't know. Trust me, this team's going to lose the game. It had to do with Monty Teo. It had to do with Michigan State's first test against the kind of formations that Notre Dame runs. And obviously I knew that, you know, there was a lot of pressure for Notre Dame. This was their first big game of the season. Everett Golson, a lot to prove, just like Maxwell. And I thought that they would deliver.
And you proved right. They did deliver for you, so that's good. I know you got a thing like me this week. They're going to smash Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I think this week's going to be a little different.
Oh, shoot. So, yeah, that was good for you, though. You got your first big one under your belt, so we'll look ahead to this next weekend. And we've got the Big Ten, though, hasn't proved that strong.
They haven't, Earl. And I got to ask you, why do you think that is?
A lot of teams just aren't that good. I mean, just putting it simply, they're just not as good. Some of them we thought were going to be good at the beginning of the season, but most of them just aren't that good.
Yeah, Earl, when was the last time that you can remember that the Legends Division and the Leaders Division, and the Big Ten in general, there's no clear leader of who is going to be the champion this year?
Right, that's right. And especially with Ohio State, they'd have a good chance if they weren't on probation. They would. But, and Penn State's not out in it this year, so they don't have much. I look at the teams that are left. I like Nebraska a lot. Nebraska seems pretty good. And I think that they've got a good chance to win. Of course, Michigan State is still pretty good, and Michigan is pretty good. Those are the best teams, but whether they can come out of the division, who's going to come out, who's going to be the one, that's hard to tell.
Yeah, and look at the surprises. Who thought that Wisconsin would lose in those first 2 weeks?
Yes.
No one.
Yes, and they haven't been able to get the ball in the end zone. So obviously that new quarterback is not a Russell Wilson, that's for sure.
Yeah, and back to Michigan State, or let's talk about this for a second. Those receivers, last game, we didn't see DeAnthony Arnett too much. We didn't see Tony Lippett too much. You know, what is the answer for this receiving core?
Well, they're going to have to step up. When you get a chance to play, you've got to step up. And the guys, and I think we'll see a little bit more of Lippett, and especially, I mean, Benny Fowler's been the only guy that showed up so far. Mm-hmm. So the other guys, they're just going to have to step up and make some plays.
Oh, that's just the least they need to do. And I think, you know, as the season progresses, we'll see Maxwell. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to have that chemistry with those receivers.
It does.
It's not something that you can put, you know, Chad Johnson into any other lineup and he's going to perform. You know, there's that quarterback-receiver connection. There's so many intangibles that go into, you know, completing those passes that have not happened so far. So hopefully this week it'll be a good practice run. They'll get more in touch. and hopefully they'll go within the Big Ten this year and really sweep.
Yes, it's going to be tough. We know the Big Ten has always been a tough league, you know, especially when the teams are playing against themselves, each other every week. So it's going to be another tough year with teams that they've got to come up and show basically how good they are. And they haven't, a lot of the teams haven't done that yet. I mean, we saw this year so far, it looks like Purdue's going to be a pretty good team. They're 1-1, but it looks like they're going to be a pretty good team. They've got a chance in that other division to win it this year. You know, the book is still out on how good is Illinois. Northwestern looks to be a good team. They look to be a solid team. That might be a team that comes out of the division. So, you know, we've got a number of teams that we have question marks now with Marquise Gray going down from Minnesota, which was off to a good start. Now, they could be in a little trouble without Gray. So we just have to look and see, wait and see how some of these teams perform without stars. I mean, that's the thing with football. You know, you always have some injuries. You always end up losing a few players, whether they're stars or just the role players. Boy, it can hurt you. And that's the thing. If you've got a good star player, if you don't have anyone behind them that can at least be competent, do a good job, your team is really suffering. So a lot of teams just don't have quality second and third teamers.
Yeah, no, very true. And back to Michigan State for a second. Mm-hmm. As bad as the offense was last game, that was the first game that defense allowed touchdowns. Remember, the first two games were scoreless. Now, I got to ask the question, Earl. Do you think that some, you know, some analysts, some journalists, some people, fans out there are looking more into the offense? Because if I'm Michigan State and if I'm a fan, I've got to look because, you know, before that game happened, you know, the coaches, Dan Ruschar, a bunch of coaches came out and said, this defense is, as well as they have been playing, as well as, you know, they have not allowed any points yet, there are plenty of things to work on. And, you know, there's high expectations. Now, last game, you know, the defensive backs, they let 40, 50-yard passes down the field. I've got to look at that defense and maybe take a little more precaution than what we're focusing on the offense, too.
Oh, sure. One thing you can say about the defense, it looks like they sorely missed Darrell Worthy. I mean, he's not there, of course.
Good point.
And they're not getting any push on the defensive front up the middle. So without Worthy there, Tyler Hoover hasn't done the job as of yet, but he's got to get a better push. And that's what they've got to do, get a better push up the middle. They're getting okay push from the defensive ends, but you can run around an end and such. You can run away from them. So, you know, but that's why the interior push has to be so much better for the team. If they do that, that can help. And hopefully the offense will have to run better. Le'Veon Bell, who they said was a Heisman Trophy candidate after the first game, well, he's taken off the Heisman lift right now as far as the potential. He's going to have to come back and have some really good games. He's really going to have to prove himself. But, you know, that's what they got to prove themselves in the running game and prove themselves in the passing game. And the quarterback has to prove himself. So they've got a lot of things to work on. I think we'll see a much better game in how they play against Eastern Michigan. But how does that help them? If they have a good game, I expect they'll have a good game against Eastern. You know, how will that help them for the Ohio State game? And that's the question that I don't think we can answer. We'll have to wait and see how good they look. And even if they look really good against Eastern, does that benefit them at all for the next game?
Yeah, and you're right. You have to look ahead. You have to, you know, start scouting that Ohio State team. You got to start scouting that Iowa team. But, hey, remember back years ago, that Appalachian State team, they came up. We can't move on quite yet. You're right. But, that's a good question, Earl. And I got to ask you, because Le'Veon Bell, he was taken off the Heisman list, as you said. This offensive line, there wasn't much push the last three games. Yeah, they've created a couple holes, but there wasn't a push that they've been preaching, a push that has happened last year and years before when we've had some quality guys. But with Foe Finuti out, Earl, Foe Finuti, pretty impactful guy in that line. Skylar Berkeland last game committing a very costly penalty, you know, a 15-yarder, another holding. And I've got to ask you, Earl, how big of an impact, you know, is having Foe Finuti out? Because, you know, a guy like this is one of the guys at right tackle that creates the holes for Le'Veon Bell.
Yes, he's Mr. Big Time, that's for sure. And, you know, he's probably their best offensive lineman. So losing him, that hurts them a lot. So that's unfortunate for Michigan State with Fofanudi out. That can be a big problem. And, you know, we like you say, you're right, the offensive line just really hasn't performed up to their standards yet. Because this coming into the season, we thought this was really going to be that was going to be the strength of the team, is the offensive line. Well, so far, it hasn't shown that it is the strength of the team. They're working hard out there, and you know, hopefully we'll see a much improvement this week. But yeah, that's been a problem, the offensive line, and they just haven't shown as much as we think they're going to show this year or be that good. So, you know, you've touched on a few problems that the Spartans have. Hopefully they can get them corrected this week.
Yeah, and besides that, I want to look at the recruiting for a second, Earl. What have you seen? You've been following, Earl, this recruiting class. What have you seen in this class? What guys do you assume are going to have a big role their freshman years next year? Any guys that you see?
Not offhand. I mean, they've got a lot. You know, they've got so many veterans. So if they're good enough, they'll get on the field. That's the thing. If they're good enough to play, they'll get on the field. Now, I've got to get with you a little bit later on. We've got to give the tickets away, and I've got a few cuts to play for some of the players. But first, let's give those tickets away. You know, we've got enough. We've got enough people are going to call in that have been calling in. So let's give the tickets away for the MSU Eastern Michigan game.
All right. There were a total of 18 different callers calling in for tickets, and the winner this week for tickets against Eastern Michigan is Tammy Way from Mason.
Okay, well, congratulations, Tammy, and you've won yourself a pair of tickets to the Eastern Michigan West Michigan State game. So congratulations, and you'll be calling her and tell her how she can pick those tickets up.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Tammy. But Earl, back to this topic for a second. You know, you got the cuts from this weekend, some players you interviewed. What have a lot of people been saying?
Well, everybody wants to make up for those mistakes they made last week against Notre Dame. They're really ticked off, the players are. So I expect to see them with a very forceful effort against Eastern Michigan. It's a shame for Eastern Michigan that they're coming in behind a loss. If they come in behind a win, you know, they probably wouldn't, they would say they probably don't have to focus as hard and such. But coming in behind a loss where they think they should have played better, boy, Eastern Michigan is really going to catch it from Michigan State this week. So, and if Michigan State doesn't, then this team is in a lot worse shape than what we thought they were. So we'll have to look closely at that. But Michigan State should have a very good game against Eastern Michigan, and then they got Ohio State next week. I said it's sort of a tough trap game because, you know, being sandwiched in between Notre Dame and Ohio State, that's a tough road for them. So we just have to wait and see what they do against Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan 0-3. They played pretty well in the first quarter against Purdue last week, but that was about it. And Eastern Michigan, you know, but they've really struggled this year. So we'll see how much Ron English can do to get this team on the straight and narrow coming up here this week on AM 870.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Earl. Got to get him up. But, hey, Earl, I got to ask you as well. Big news going on right now. You know, in the prep sports world, you've been seeing a lot of games. Hey, you got a prediction for who's going to compete in that championship or what?
What in Division One or Division Two?
What about Division Two to start?
Yeah, because I like the Lansing Everett Vikings are very good. They're very strong. They've got a lot of speed on that team, so they'll compete in that division along with East Lansing. That's going to be I'll be at that game 2 weeks. East Lansing and Everett plays, and that should be a very good game. It's rare that two high school teams have so much speed on their teams. Both teams have a ton of speed. So we'll look at those games, that game when it comes up next week. But one of those teams, I don't know which one, will come out that the Division II. It should be a pretty strong team, in the state. So we'll look at that coming up there. Two teams, that's a very good division, very, very quality teams. And that's one thing, you know, when you look at the teams in the smaller divisions, some of those teams have some really, I look at some teams and say, how do they get all those big guys on the team? They have a lot of big guys. They may not have overall the speed and everything, but they've got some big linemen, big offensive, defensive linemen on a lot of these teams. So, but we'll have to look at the East Lansing and Everett, because they've got both those teams have a lot of speed. And, you know, there's no substitute for speed. If you got it, that really helps your chances of winning. So we'll have to look at those two teams and some of the other teams around the area. We've got they've got a good chance to win in the state if they play well and play within themselves. You know, because too many times, as I was talking with Tom, you heard, say with Tom, a lot of coaches will tell you that the kids can do what they want them to do, so they have to scale it back because you know, you don't want to embarrass anybody, but you can get embarrassed if you try to make a kid do something that they really can't do. But that happens a lot in high school football.
Yo, all the time. Now, Division I, Earl, who have you been seeing? Who have you been scouting? Any players that you like?
Not here in the mid-Michigan area. I haven't seen any. I'll still be looking out. We don't have any that many really big teams in the Division I. So, you know, the Grand Rapids teams are strong. Some teams in the Detroit area are strong. I imagine that the state championship will come out of one of those divisions, out of Division I, out of the Detroit area or the Grand Rapids area. And that includes Muskegon, which has some good teams, too. So that's very good. Well, what do you think about the Lions, though? You've been talking to me. What do you think about the Lions and how they do against Tennessee this week?
Well, for your fantasy team, I think great. But thank God, you know, you have that running back coming back. Otherwise, Earl, about that Lions football team, I see a win this week a good possibility. I think they have a lot of issues to work on. I think Stafford needs to get back into that rhythm that he so confidently displayed last year. And hopefully, you know, the Lions find other options besides Calvin Johnson. Yeah, he is the Megatron. He is the guy, you know, to go to. But teams are catching on. You know, they're double covering them. They're getting the long ball threat, you know, out of the picture. So they're going to need to find more options. And like you said, as you were talking with Dan Miller earlier, Ryan Broyles, you know, this is, you know, he's starting to slowly come into his way as a Lion. So prediction this week, Earl, I say the Lions are going to pull it out. But that's just my prediction, but.
Okay, well, I'm trying to put up here a couple of cuts, if you can bring them up, and we'll call for a couple of cuts here.
I'll look. Give me the names.
Okay, you see those two up there, so we got those two. Hopefully, let me see if I can get one more help, one more up here. And so those are three. Maybe we can get one of those three on there. So we'll try that, and then we'll look at some of the other ones left here. Well, let me see. I can probably put one more up here.
All right, Earl, I'm going to play the one from Benny Fowler talking about completions.
Okay, do that.
I want us to dominate this week. I want us to separate ourselves. I want the receivers to separate themselves. I want every receiver to catch a pass. I want us getting vertical with the ball, making the big play. I want us to have great blocks on the outside for Nick, Larry, and Le'Veon. I just want a complete game from the offense.
Yes, and that's what they need. They need a complete game from the offense and really a very good game from those receivers. That's what Benny Fowler was talking about. Well, let's talk about, talk with Deion Sims and about the better possibility for them playing better this week.
Yeah, most definitely. These guys are ready. You know, I think this loss really, hit guys in the face. You know, like I said, you know, guys were working hard today in practice. You know, the scout team gave us a great look. You know, those guys practicing hard, making us better. You know, when we mess up on a play, we have bingo to play, you know, run it over a couple times. You know, make sure we know exactly what we're doing, you know, exactly how they're going to line up, exactly what all the checks is going to be. You know, so guys are getting ready. And, you know, that loss was really going to help us out during the season, I think.
And then we heard from Le'Veon Bell, and he's saying the same thing, basically, that the loss really helped them this year.
No, actually today he was with us a lot. It was, we all noticed that. We're like, Coach D's over here with us, you know, but he's just watching us because he knows, you know, everyone's on us right now about, like, you know, offensive line, you know, Maxwell. Well, we're tired of hearing everyone sit there talk about, like, oh, it's Maxwell's fault, bad ball by Maxwell and all that. It's not him. It starts with us right here. So, you know, so him getting over there with us wants to make sure, I think, he feels that we have to be more physical and more on it as a unit and count on each other and trust each other and just get out there and just keep performing and getting better. So,
And that was Chris McDonald talking about the MSU offense coming up against Eastern Michigan. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And I'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.